All right, it's good to be in the Lord's house this morning, and we're so glad that you've chosen to come and worship with us. Now, got a pretty good group here in the sanctuary, and there may be somebody in the parking lot. There may be a few that are listening that live close enough that the radio signal reaches their house, and then there are others that are hopefully listening in later today or this week on the website. But no matter how you participate in the service, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that you're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ with us. He's still on the throne. And we're so glad for a chance just to come and honor him. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so you didn't forsake it. You're here. And we're so glad. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you, we thank you for so many blessings in life. Most of all, just the freedom to come and worship. We know that in countries around the world, there are places where they have to meet in secret. They have to worry about the Taliban or ISIS or somebody coming in and taking their lives. Father, thank you for the freedoms that we have. And Father, may we stand for those freedoms. May we continue to seek freedom not only for ourselves but for others. And Lord, most of all, we know that our freedom is in Jesus. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Good morning. Let's stand together and sing Alleluia, a nice little melodious tune that we all know. Jeff is so kind to have our words up for us, and we're going to sing all four verses.
Praise him today in all that you express, both with your words and with your thoughts and with your prayers. Again, I welcome you here. Thank Tonda for leading the music. Leonard's at Furniture Market, and so I'll be doing the announcements and the prayer requests. Just remember all that's in the bulletin, and next week will be a quarterly conference. So keep that in mind. After the service today, the stewardship committee will be meeting for a moment downstairs. Yes. And if you're on a committee or a group and you need money, you need to let them know if you need more or whatever or less than you had last year. So they'll know exactly what to do. Let me mention, you see a whole bunch of stuff over here. Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes. There should be 58 of them over there. If you get one, be sure and get a lid. There's also, I think it's 46 soccer balls over there. And 46 pumps. Kid can't kick it. Well, I guess you could kick that, but they'd like it better if there's air in it. These are all paid for. All you got to do is just take them. There's no charge or anything. There's also some pencils down there. There should be enough for 5 pencils for every box that you want to pack. So all you have to do is just open the little packs and take them. Some bookmarks are over there. Some information. Most importantly, there's a sheet that looks like this that tells you what you can and can't put in the box. Now, notice especially in the, I guess that's red, it says don't put these things in the box. I mean, like, don't put a cap pistol in there or any other war toys or soldier figurines or anything. Here's things they say do not put in there. And then there are other things on here, whether you're doing the age 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 10 to 14, that tells you what would be appropriate. Now, you may think, well, and whether you're going to do a boy or a girl. Now, somebody think, well, a little girl wouldn't want a soccer ball. Are you kidding me? It was really strange when my daughter and her husband were in Oklahoma. The church they attended at that time did a Saturday outreach to some inner city kids. I mean, the kids were so wild that they didn't dare bring them in on Sunday. So they did it all on Saturday. And so one year at Christmas, I think they spent $10,000 on basketballs for the boys and $10,000 on dolls or jump ropes or something for the girls. All the girls got upset. We wanted a basketball as well, so they didn't make that mistake again. So soccer balls are there. Other things are here. And fill the box up and try to have it back by the second Sunday in November. And just on a little sheet of paper or something, put boy, girl, and the age. And we've got the special stickers that we'll put on the box later. But if you'll just do that for us, we'll know whether it's a boy or girl in the particular age. Now, does anybody have a question about that? All of this has been paid for, so all you got to do is just help yourself to it. All right. And I want to thank you for those that brought for the undie drive, socks and T-shirts and other things that will go to help some of the kids in Stanley County schools that have special needs. Any other announcements that I'm skipping? You can read in the bulletin for them. All right, on the back of the bulletin, there's the prayer list. And there in the middle of the middle column, Charles Hutchins, it's the family of, I think he must have passed away. So remember that family, and of course continue to remember Terry Burrish's family and Charles Hatley and Angela Frick. I want to remember them. And oh, for another announcement, there's the family list with all everybody's phone number that are down here, and you can help yourself to one of those after the service. Other prayer requests that we need to mention. Okay. All right. Someone else.
Preacher Ed, I'm thankful to say Tammy Hamilton recovered, is home from COVID, and is making baby steps, but getting there. She's strong enough to get up and down her stairs in her home now, and so things are doing well, and we thank everyone for helping us pray for her.
All right. She's thank you. Good. Better. Good. Anyone else? That goes back to St. Jude, right?
Yeah, we're going to the doctors in Charlotte.
Okay.
St. Jude doctors there. And so
okay. All right. Don't have to go all the way to Tennessee. That's great.
This month, then the next time it goes, we go back to Tennessee.
All right. Anyone else?
Just remember, Jeff, we're waiting on test results about the legs and
life. Okay. Continue to pray, Brother Jeff. Anyone else? May we pray. Father, we look at the prayer list, and we know that every one of those are precious people to you. And many of them are precious to us. Some of them I would know, some of them I wouldn't, but others know who they are. And Lord, most of all, they're precious, precious, precious to you. And Father, we thank you for answered prayer. And we lift up those that are going through difficult times. Those that have lost loved ones. It's pain. Those that are facing serious, serious health issues. We lift them up. And yet, Father, the Holy Spirit reminds me that there are folks more desperate than anybody on that prayer list. Those are people that don't know Jesus. And Father, I pray for those around us, family members, friends, neighbors, whom if they died today, they would spend an eternity without Christ. An eternity in a place of torment. And I pray, Father, that you'll send laborers into their path. For, Father, I know it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Father, I pray for the leading of the Spirit of God to draw those to salvation. And, Father, if there's anyone that's listening to my voice, either in the sanctuary, in the parking lot, or on the web, that's facing some puzzling or difficult situation, may the wisdom of the Holy Spirit be theirs. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you that we can have an awesome relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Next hymn is He Hideth My Soul. If you prefer to hold your hymn book, it is 340, and it's on the screen for us. I think Jeff did 1, 2, and 4 for us. So stand with me. Thank you.
list for Children's Church. Now, I hope you listened to Rita's Sunday school lesson, because she laid the background for what I want to talk about this morning. She did good. You know, the Bible is full of wonderful, thrilling promises. Promises that I love to think about and meditate on and quote when I'm preaching and when I'm teaching. And one of my favorites goes like this. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Isn't that awesome? Paul is talking about a God who can do not just what we ask or think, but abundantly above what we ask or think. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. He says, you know, God is not just a scrape the bottom of the barrel God, just a barely get along God, but God is a more than enough God, a God who is can do more than our wildest dreams. Now you think about some of the biblical examples of that. You remember Abraham? God, Isaac was born. God says, this is the son, this is the heir. And then he gets the word about taking Isaac and offering him as a sacrifice. And Abraham, when they get to the bottom of the mountain, did you catch what he says to the servants that went with him? We are going to go worship and we'll be back. I mean, Abraham had faith to believe that even if he ended up sacrificing Isaac, God was going to raise him back out of the ashes that he burned. But that isn't what happened. You know the story. Not only did God spare Isaac, but there was a ram caught in the bushes by his horns, so that Abraham and Isaac could still sacrifice. More than enough. You think about the children of Israel as they came out of Egypt. God opens the Red Sea, a path right for them to walk through. Now, I don't know whether they were walking single file or 10 or 20 abreast. But you know, God could have close the Red Sea up behind the last group. And they would have still been thrilled to be on the other side of the Red Sea and the Egyptian army on this side and sort of go, nah, 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 nah. But God didn't do it that way. He allowed the Egyptians to come right out of there and just drown the whole Egyptian army. Not only because, you know, the Egyptian army, if they had been on the other side and safe, they could have gone around right close to the Mediterranean where everybody else came by. They could have caught the Israelites coming around the sea on the other side. But no, God was more than enough. And so God met their need by drowning the whole army. You think about Jesus taking 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeding 5,000 men. And, you know, speculation, if you count women and children, there may have been 10, 20, 30,000 people that he fed. Now, you older folks, and I'll let you define that. Remember how it was when you went to the local fish houses and it was all you could eat. And I've been off with people that could eat 8, 10, 12 pieces of fish. And maybe you were one of those, I don't know. But it was all you could eat. Till you said to the waiter or waitress, I'm stuffed. Well, now when Jesus fed the 5,000, it doesn't say he fed them a little piece of fish about like a 50 cent piece and a little piece of bread about the same size and said, I hope this will sort of curb your appetite till you can find a real meal. It says they ate till they were full and then there were 12 basketfuls left over. In other words, those disciples are going around and say, you want any more? We got some more. You want some more? We got plenty. And everybody had all that they wanted and still had 12 basketfuls left over. And it was the same when they did the 4,000 with the 7 loaves and a few fish. When they got done, everybody had all that they wanted. And there were 7 basketfuls left over. You see, God is a God of more than enough. God can do more, what did we just read? Exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask. And you know, some of you, at some time or other in your life, you've had more than enough beyond your dreams, beyond your prayers, fulfilled in your life. There are things that you saw happen in your life that were just amazing, awesome. You were so blessed. But honestly, for some reason, it doesn't seem to always work that way. There are things we dream, there are things we pray about, and they don't happen. And we say, why didn't they happen? And sometimes we get disappointed. We get discouraged. And there are times that folks even get angry with God. They don't go to church anymore. They don't pray anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. Said, God didn't answer that prayer. He didn't do what I want him to do. I don't even know where they exist, but I'm mad at him. Even though they may not say the word, I'm angry or I'm mad at him, they just have an issue with God. Now, I've been at the place where I've been disappointed. I've been at the place where I was discouraged. But I've never been at the place where I just wanted to quit. So angry with God because he didn't answer a prayer. And so how do we reconcile that prayer that God, and that verse that says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we could think or ask with the fact that sometimes it doesn't happen? You know what my problem's been about that verse? I didn't read the second half of the verse. Turn to Ephesians 3:20. Ephesians 3:20. Here's what our problem is. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, what? According to the power that worketh in us. You gotta look at the second half of the verse. He says these wonderful promises are contingent upon the power that is working in us. You know, as a born again believer, as a child of God, God's power is in you. In fact, God lives in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. If you have not the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to him. So Christ, God lives in you, but where's your faith level? Where's your faith level? Now, I know that at least 2 or 3 families in this church have sort of high-powered sports cars. Now, 2 things. One, you got to turn it, crank it up. If you don't crank it up, you're not going anywhere. Second thing is, How fast you go depends on how far down you push the pedal. I mean, you can get that high-powered sports car out here, and if you don't crank it up, you're not going anywhere. And if you crank it up and just barely touch the pedal, you can go down the road at 5 miles an hour. Where's our faith level? Perhaps an even better illustration, I think, is this. If a house or a building is properly wired, the 110 outlets have the same amount of power, my house, your house, the church, anywhere. But if I'm going to have any light, I've got to have a lamp or some way or another, something that's plugged up. And it can be just a night light. And if it's a night light, that night light's got to be turned on. And if it's a lamp, it all depends on the size bulb you've got in there. I've got a lamp, we've got a lamp at the house that, you know, just as you walk in the front door and you go click, light comes on. But you click again and it gets brighter. You click a third time and it gets brighter. It's got a three-way bulb. We determine how much light we're getting by first, are we turning it on? And secondly, what size bulb is in the lamp? Where's our faith level? See, that 110 outlet is the same in everybody's house. Properly wired. But what size bulb? And the Spirit and the power of God is the same in you and in me and every born again believer. But where is our faith level? Where is our trust and our confidence in the Lord? Where is that level? You see, if all we've got is a little bulb, a night light, we're not going to have a whole lot of light. If we got a 300-watt bulb plugged in, we're going to have a lot of light. But it's our choice. It's our choice. And Paul, as he writes to the Ephesians, he said, God has tremendous promises that are beyond your imagination in thinking or acting, but it's according to the faith that you allow to work in you. You think about in the life of Jesus. It's a wonder sometimes he just didn't abandon the whole group of disciples and start over. How many times do you read, where is your faith? I mean, he had already given them power and authority, and they kept blowing it. You know, they're in the boat. Storm comes up. Jesus asleep. Wake up, Lord, we're going to drown. Where's your faith, guys? You remember when he went to Nazareth, his hometown? And he says, there he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. It didn't say he would not. Now we know that Jesus walked in the power and the authority of God. And he could have if they would have. In other words, he could have done mighty miracles in Nazareth just like he did in Capernaum and Jerusalem and other places. But their faith level was pretty near zero. And it says he did touch a few sick folks. And some folks say that the Greek there says just with some minor ailments. He did do a few things, but he could do no mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their faith level was too low to receive much from God. It's like having a nightlight plugged into the same outlet that would power a 300-watt bulb. And then, you know, there are times when Jesus says, man, you've got great faith. Great faith. And those who had the great faith received the great miracles. Where's our faith level? Paul talks about a God who is so powerful and so great and so mighty, so majestic that he can do more than we could even ask or think. But he says you got to look at how much of the power of God is working in your life. Where's your faith level? Where's your confidence in God? How much does it matter? You know, when you read the book of in Hebrews in chapter 11, you read about all of those people who were ordinary people but did great things because they were men and women of faith. They believed God, and because they believed God, wonderful things happened. You know, we've just finished in Sunday school, 1 John. 1 John 5, 4 says this, whatsoever is born of God does what? Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. John says we have an overcoming faith. And we have to develop that faith. You can't go down to Walmart and buy it. I can't open up some spot in your heart and pour it in. In Hebrews 10, not Hebrews, but Romans 10, it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith is developed as you study the Word of God, meditate on the Word of God, and get the Word of God from here down into your heart. It's not how much of the Word of God you know up here. It's how much of the Word of God is down inside and you believe it and you stand on it. You have confidence in it. And when you believe it and stand on it and have confidence in it and you act on it, then that faith level begins to work. And the more your faith grows, as the power of God works in you, the more the miracles of God, the power of God, the blessings of God come into your life. You know, there's no shame in being at a low level of faith. But the shame is being at a low level of faith and staying at a low level of faith. The tragedy is being at a low level of faith and staying at a low level of faith and as a result missing out on the blessing of God day after day, week after week, year after year. And there are many good folks who love Jesus, but their level of faith is low and they go 50 years and miss the blessing of God. When all along, if they had just developed their faith, they could have experienced so much more of God, been so much more blessed, been so much more useful to the kingdom of God. I was thinking this week, a couple of you older fellows identify with this. I learned to driving an Alice Chalmers tractor. It was up on my uncle's farm in the mountains of Virginia, and I was pulling a trailer with wheat down to the thresher, and they were putting it through that thresher, and a guy standing there with a 100-pound sack, and they'd come out in that sack and he'd tie it off and they'd put another sack in it. Anybody besides me remember that, those days? Now, they had two tractors. They put me on the other one and my feet were too short. I couldn't even reach the pedals. So I think I must have been 8 or 9 years old. But I fit that Alice Chalmers just fine. And boy, you thought I was in hog heaven. I mean, here I was, I'm driving a tractor. I'm helping with the farming. And I bet I probably reached a top speed of 3 miles an hour. Maybe not even that. But you know, as I grew and began to drive around town, I got faster. When I was out in Oklahoma in the 75-mile-an-hour turnpike speeds, I could drive 75. I started out at 3 or so, but I got where I could drive 75. You see, about you read the resumes of a lot of those NASCAR drivers, 220 miles an hour around Talladega, whatever. Oh, they started out in go-karts. They didn't start out driving those 220 mile an hour cars. They started out with go-karts. See, the shame is not in where you are now. It's where you're going to be 5 years from now. If I were the first one that leave the parking lot out here, and I started down the road and all of y'all fell in behind me and I was going 3 miles an hour, would you not start pulling your hair out? Say, it's going to take that preacher 5 hours to get home at 3 miles an hour. You'd be saying, get out of the way if you're not going but 3 miles an hour. Folks, don't stay at 3 miles an hour faith-wise. Don't stay with a nightlight faith-wise. Determine within yourselves that you're going to grow in your faith. Determine in yourselves that, you know, God has great blessing for me. God has great usefulness for me. And I want to grow. Now, there may be a few people here thinking, well, preacher, that's good for these young ones. But, you know, at my age, what does it matter? As Rita pointed out, Abraham was 75. Moses was 80. Caleb was 85 whenever he said, I'm going to conquer this mountain. Age is just a relative. When we were in the mountains a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, and we attended a church, and I think I wrote about this in the newsletter, or maybe I said it in a sermon, I'm not sure. They announced that night they was going to have a special speaker, and he was 90-some, and just a week or two before he'd resigned his church. But he was still preaching. And then the other guy that was going to come speak, I think he was might have been 88 or something along that line. You know, as long as we're still breathing, what a blessing for God to bless us so that we can bless others and we can be useful to the kingdom of God. And I don't know how many times I've looked at this Ephesians 3:20, quoted the first half of that verse and said, folks, God can do more than you can think or you can dream. God can do more. And never really clicked what the second half of the verse said. If God's going to do more, God's power's got to work in me in a stronger way. If God's going to do more for you, you've got to allow God's power to work in you in a stronger way. Now, the same, it's just like that 110 plug-in. It's the same for all of us, and it's available to all of us. It's what we do with it. It's our choice. God doesn't play favorites and say, oh, he's 110, he's 220. No, the same power is available to all of us. But it depends on whether we plug in a nightlight or a 300-watt bulb. Don't be satisfied to just barely get by, scrape the bottom of the barrel. Allow God to lead you to new heights of victory, new heights of blessing, new heights of usefulness. Allow God's power to work in you in a fantastic way so that He can, in your life, do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or ask. That's the kind of God He is. And that's the kind of God He wants to be to each one of us. May we allow it and work for it to happen in our lives to His glory. To His glory. Father, as we bow before You this morning, we thank You for every blessing. We thank You that You are an exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask, God. And Father, if there's any person listening to me that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, may they receive Him today. If there's someone that's wandered away, maybe been angry, disappointed, discouraged because some prayer was not answered, Lord, draw them back to Yourself. May You just shower upon them a tremendous love. And then, Lord, may all of us, no matter what our faith level is at this moment, strive that our faith level 5 years from now will be even greater. And we'll experience more of that exceedingly abundantly from God. Lord, we thank You that You're such a giving, loving God, that You make these promises. Lord, may we put ourselves in position to receive. Now to Him that is able to keep you from falling, be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Remember the things here for the shoeboxes.